Let's just touch a little bit on Pesach Sheni. I want to start talking about Lag BaOmer. First thing let's speak about is there is an obvious connection between Pesach Sheni and Lag BaOmer. Okay, Pesach Sheni is today. Everyone knows that today is Pesach Sheni on the 18th day of Iyar. No. I'm sorry. What did I just say? That's incorrect. Today is the 4th. The 8th day is Lag BaOmer. The 18th day of Iyar is Lag BaOmer. Today is the 14th day of Iyar, correct? It is Yud Aleph Iyar, of course, has been Pesach Sheni is Yud Aleph. And Lag BaOmer is on the 18th day of Iyar.
Good.
On the, what? Sorry? Okay, on the 18th day. The Daf Yomi is Tezvan, not Yud Aleph. Yes, it was Yud Aleph. Okay. So, what's the connection? Well, the connection is very simple. If you're into the Kabbalah, Gesundheit, the Kabbalistic inyanim of Lag BaOmer, many people, they say, they count in the Sfira, the Midos, of Chesed Shebemalchus, Gevur Shebemalchus, Netzach Shebemalchus, we go through the permutations of Malchus, of Chesed, of Hoid. I'm not really into this stuff, but there's a every single day in the Sefira we match together two words that come from the seven Midos or the seven Sefirois, the seven different levels. I know some people are really into this. Dr. Phil Friedman, he once gave me a safe, he once showed me things. He's much more knowledgeable in the Kabbalah than I am, and but there's at least one thing we can take out that relates to Pesach Sheni and Lag BaOmer, and that is the pace. Today is the beginning of the week of Hod. Okay, today is the 29th day in the Omer. And today, let me get a sitter actually just to make it better, be more accurate. Okay, today is the 29th day in the Omer. And in the sitter, for those who recite these things after they finish saying the sefer, it's a very beautiful minhag, where I daven ma'ariv, they don't have the patience for this. They can't deal with this. I don't see even one person saying it, which is a shame. It's something nice to look at. So today is Hayom Tisha V'Eshrim Yom Shehem Arba Oshavuos V'Yom Echad Bama. So now we're starting over here, the fifth week, and each week is a midah, and today is Chesed Shebehoid. Yesterday, at the end of the fourth week, it was called the Malchus Shebenetzach. The entire fourth week was Netzach. And you go through the fourth week, you will go through Chesed Shebenetzach, Gevura Shebenetzach, Tiferes Shebenetzach, Netzach Shebenetzach, Hoid Shebenetzach, Yisoid Shebenetzach, and Malchus Shebenetzach. We're done with Netzach. Netzach is gone. Now we're starting week five. Week five is the week of Hoid. So for the next 7 days, we're going to be saying Chesed Shebehoid, Gevura Shebehoid, Tiferes Shebehoid, Netzach Shebehoid, Hoid Shebehoid, Yisoid Shebehoid, and Malchus Shebehoid. So week number five is the week of Hoid. And we cycle through the 7 days, the seven different Midos. Pesach Sheni, it is not a coincidence that Pesach Sheni is always the first day, begins the week of Hoid. It is the week of Hoid. And then we go through the days of Hoid. The first day of Hoid is the Chesed. The second is Gevura. The third day is Tiferes. The fourth day is Netzach. And the fifth day is Hoid Shebehoid. The sixth day will be Yisoid, and the seventh will be Malchus Shebehoid. So Lag BaOmer is always the fifth day of the fifth week. Okay, it's 5-5. Lag Boimer is not just 3-3. Lag Boimer is, it's Arba'a Shavuos, it's 4 weeks, V'chamisha Yomim Boimer, which means you're in the fifth week. When you say 4 weeks, that means 4 weeks. 4 weeks are gone. 4 weeks are gone. And now we are in the fifth week, and we are on the fifth day of the fifth week. 5-5. We think Lag Boimer is 3-3. 3-3. No, Lag Boimer is 5-5. The fifth week and the fifth day. And what is the fifth week? Hoyd. And what is Lag Boimer? It's the Hoyd Sheba Hoyd. But the first day of the week captures the whole week. Pesach Sheni is the beginning of the week of Hoyd. Lag Boimer is the individual day of Hoyd. And they come together. So there is a relationship between the two. Now, what is the significance of Hod? I really don't know. I don't know what Hod is all about. I don't know what Chesed is. I don't know what Malchus is. To me, these words, I have really no appreciation of what these words mean. But we can, just looking at the template, we can make a fair assessment that Pesach represents the general principle of what Lag BaOmer is. If both Pesach and Lag BaOmer capture the principles of Hod, Pesach is the week of Hod. It's the bigger picture. And in the bigger picture, there is a miniature, there is an element of Lag BaOmer. And they parallel one another, one on the larger scale and one on a smaller scale. That means there's a relationship between the two. And what is the relationship? So let's think. Let's try to analyze and get an appreciation. On a very simple level, let's understand what is Pesach Sheni all about. Lama Nigara. Okay, the words of the Torah. Vayihyu anoshim asher hayu tmeim lenefesh adam. There were individuals who were tmeim. And we learned last week, the Gemara presents three reasons, three possibilities as to who these individuals were, either those who carried the urn of Yosef, or the people that Elit Safon and Elit Safon and I forgot the other person's name. Mishael.
From what Sheva were they? Yehuda?
I don't know who they were from. From Levi, I think from Sheva Levi. Mishael the El Kohanim. Yes, they were Kohanim. Mishael the El Tzafan. They took out the bodies of Nadav v'Avihu from the Kodesh HaKodashim. And the third was Stam. We don't know. Meis Mitzvah. They were people who were. There was a person who died. We have to. There were no relatives that we have to assume he was a ger. There was a ger who died. Because who could there possibly be in Klal Yisrael that's a Nes Mitzvah? That really is a revelation. I'm telling you, Gerin. We didn't really delve into that idea. But the third opinion in the Gemara is there were people who were, there were Nes Mitzvah. Who could be a Nes Mitzvah? There's no such thing as a Nes Mitzvah in Klal Yisrael. Every single person has a relative. Everyone in Klal Yisrael was confined to the desert. The entire Klal Yisrael were all in one big machaneh. No one went on camping trips. No one went hiking, and they went out into the middle of nowhere, and they found a dead body. It's not the case. They were all isolated together, and there was a person who died, and there were people who had to contaminate for him who really were not obligated to do so.
Maybe from the Arab Rav.
I guess so. There was a ger. Someone died. A ger has no relatives, and there was no obligation to be metame, and the only reason why they were metame was because he was called a meis mitzvah. So that means over here, a ger is the cause of Pesach Sheni. Ger, that itself is a topic of discussion, a whole insight into the nature of what is Pesach Sheni all about. It's a day for Gerim to celebrate. It's the national day of Gerus. Okay, how come we don't have a day in Klal Yisrael in America? There's a day for everything. There's a day to celebrate coffee, a day to celebrate eggs, a day to celebrate paper. Every day there's a national day of celebration for every Mishigas in America. So how come in Klal Yisrael we don't have a day to celebrate Gerim? Well, guess what? According to this approach in the Gemara, Pesach Sheni is the national day of celebration for Gerim. Even though really, you can argue we're all Gerim, because Kol Klal Yisrael is one nation of Gerim, from Yitzias Mitzrayim, but on a secondary level of Gerim, it's Pesach Sheni, because who are the people that came to Moshe Rabbeinu Lamanigara? People who were Tamei Meis because they were Matame to a Meis Mitzvah. Who is the Meis Mitzvah? A Ger. Everyone, because if it was not a Ger, they're not called a Meis Mitzvah. They have an obligation to be Matame. It's not called a Meis Mitzvah. It's your duty. It's your relative. Everyone in Klai Yisrael has a relative that's obligated. It must be there with no relative. Who could that possibly be from the era? Who's a Ger? Okay, so that's, I'm not telling you my own word, but it says this in the Farshim. That means the significance of Gerim. Okay, but let's put that aside. There were people that were Tanaim, they were not able to bring the Karim Pesach, they come to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they say, Lama Nigara. And Moshe Rabbeinu did not know what to say. He did not know what to say. So he says, let me speak to the Ribbono Shel Olam about this issue. And Hashem said, correct. It was not part of the plan, but because there's a Rotzayim, like we just finished learning, They want so much. You know what? We're going to make a special holiday for these people. We're going to make Pesach Sheni. So what is Pesach Sheni? It is a day that something significant is going to happen that was not meant to be. It's not meant to be. This is not part of the divine plan. It's not part of the original plan. And we're going to make a change. We're going to make an amendment. An amendment to the Constitution. Isn't that really what it's about? That's a little bit sad. Borders not because to say that. But is it really? It's not. It wasn't part of the original plan. If they would not come to Moshe and say Lama Nigara, there would be no such thing as Pesach Sheni. I would not have here on the table today some matzah over here. I would not find it over here. It's only because of the people who said Lama Nigara did this change come about. What is Lag BaOmer? Rashbi, there are many different levels. First of all, Rashbi revealed the secrets of Torah. Now, we are so far removed from this in so many ways. It's almost hilarious that we talk about, we say these words. On the one hand, we have been so influenced by the Sisrei Torah that we don't even think it's Sisrei Torah. Okay, we have been influenced by the Zohar and the revelation of the secrets of Torah to such a degree that we would not even recognize the religion of our ancestors before the Zohar was revealed, before the Sisrei HaTorah was revealed. Everyone puts on tefillin, everyone says, L'shem Yichud Kodesh Abrichu Shechinte B'dechilu Kol Yisrael. What in the world did you just say? Every bar mitzvah boy is taught to say, for the sake of the unification of the holy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to unite the letters Yudkei with the letters Vavkei. Woo! What in the world did you just say? Does anyone really know what that means? No one knows what that means, but we think we know what it means. And we talk about that in Shemayim, there's a mitzvah of Rachamim, there's a mitzvah of Din. That itself is Zohar. That itself, everyone appreciates that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Zemidas, there's a mitzvah of Din, a mitzvah of Rachamim. When it says in the Torah Elokim, it represents Midas HaDin. When it says Yudke Vavke, it represents Midas HaRachamim. Wait a minute, what does that mean exactly? That itself is Kabbalah. That itself is all part of the Zohar, the Sisrei Torah. So we have been, you'll tell me, yes, maybe not, they're Ma'amar Chazal. Okay, you have to be very careful, very delicate in how you balance what you want to ascribe to the world of Sisrei Torah, the secrets, and what you want to view as purely regular, standard Torah that's in the realm of the Nigla, what is revealed. Everything today has become blurred to such a degree it is impossible to separate the Sisrei Torah from the Nigla. And obviously whatever is Nigla requires Emuna. Whatever is in the category of Sisrei Torah requires a dosage of emuna that is much, much more intense than the emuna of just the regular Torah that's nigla. Hashem revealed himself on Har Sinai and gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael. That requires emunah. There's no question about it. No question about it. We have emunah. But then when you want to say things to explain what is happening in Shemayim and how things work in heaven and how punishment, reward, this is Sisrei Torah. The emunah in these concepts which we have and we are required is a much higher level. It's much more stressful to the mind, the Sisrei Torah. But Baruch Hashem, it has been ingrained in our minds for generations that it's part of our blood, our DNA, that you cannot even separate it anymore from Nigla and Nistrit. It all blended in into one entity. Now, of course, then, you know, the people who learn, they spend their time learning the real Kabbalistic stuff that I'm not even talking about. But I'm just talking about the way we live our ordinary lives. The way we live our ordinary lives, we don't even begin to imagine how much of mainstream Judaism is based on belief in the secrets of the Torah, Sisrei Torah. Was it meant to be? Was that really the divine plan that we here in the 21st century, Lefi Misparam, in Tav Shin, Hey Aleph, and Tav Shin Pei Aleph, was it really part of Hashem's divine plan at the time of Maaseh Bereishis, that the way we conduct ourselves, the thoughts that are percolating in our mind as we look at mitzvahs, was this what Hashem envisioned for Klal Yisrael? Was this the plan it was meant to be? Not necessarily. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and he created the Torah, there's no question HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't intend to give the Torah with all of the secrets to man. The Torah is the blueprint of creation. Maybe there are unique holy individuals that are deserving to know these things, but the common man lives a life, you follow the rules. There's a basic set of rules. There's the Torah HaKadosh, and there's a basic approach to the Torah, and that's all you need. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, when he looked forward 5,781 years ahead, did he envision this world, the Klal Yisrael living a life that is blended? The way we relate to Torah mitzvahs is a very unique blend of Nigla and Nistar. So I am suggesting to you, no, absolutely not. That was not part of the original divine plan. Just like it was not part of the divine plan that there should be a festival called Pesach Sheni. Why is there a festival called Pesach Sheni? It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did give man the ability to be a partner with him, to make demands, to stand up for his rights. Okay, a bill of rights, Ratzon, and people came forward and they said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Lama Nigara, Lama Nigara. I also want to bring the Karban Pesach. And Hashem says, you really want, you know what? We're going to make a change. We're going to accommodate you. It was not part of the plan. It was not. I remember Chaim Siegel, my Rebbe in the Sifter, now, he always would say this. It was not, there never would have been a Pesach Sheni if not for man making that demand. If not for a person standing up for his rights, it never would have happened. So I'm suggesting to you that the way we live today, which it's hard to even explain because it was so entrenched in our thoughts, the Sisrei Torah was not the divine plan. It's only because there was a will for more, to a greater depth of appreciation and knowledge and understanding in the reasons behind the mitzvahs. How the mitzvahs indeed affect our neshamas, how it affects the global goal and mission of this world, which is all wrapped up in Sisrei Torah. It's because there was a ratzon, lama nigara. Why should only the angels in Shemayim know about the hidden nature of the Torah? They're also called Hashem's children. The Malachi Hashores are called the Bonov Shalmakim. It says this, and there are a few psukim in Tanakh that say this. We're also called Banim LaShem Elohim. What's the difference between us and the Malachim? They are called Hashem's children, and we are called Hashem's children. The difference is, Bini B'chayri Yisrael. We're not just Hashem's children, we are Hashem's firstborn. And therefore, Klal Yisrael has said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Manigara! If we're your firstborn, then why shouldn't we have knowledge, be privy to all of the information that the younger children have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And this manifested itself in our agent of Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who excelled in delving into these matters, and he just represents us. I mean, Rashbi is just, if there's no Klal Yisrael, there's no Rashbi. Rashbi is just the pulse. He's just a product of Klal Yisrael. And it's because we demanded from Hashem, Lama Nigora. That's why Hashem says, if you want, you know what, why not? I'll give you the Sisrei Torah. And Rashbi, serving as our agent, gave us things that were not meant for us to know. And this knowledge has vastly enhanced our appreciation of the Torah, has ignited Klal Yisrael with passion and Ratzon to sustain us. If not for many of the Mefarshim said that if not for the Gili of the Sisrei Torah, we wouldn't even be here today. We would have been burnt out. We would have just burnt out and just withered away into the background, because our conviction to continue to be shomer Torah mitzvahs over the generations would become weak. The revelation of a depth of appreciation in Torah is what has awakened the soul, the collective neshama of Klal Yisrael, to have that ratzon to come close to Hashem and fully observe, continue to be shomer Torah mitzvahs until Mashiach comes, and that's only because there was a ratzon. And Rashbi was the agent, he was the shaliach tzibur of Klal Yisrael saying Lama Nigara. So this is what we're trying to suggest over here, is that there is no doubt about it, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Pesach Sheni and Lag BaOmer are related. We know they're related because in the Siddur it says the word Hoid by both. What is Hoid? What is Malchus? What is Nesach? What is Teferis? What is Yisoid? What is these words mean? I have no idea. I really have no clue what these things mean. But these are obviously midos, different esoteric midos in this ladder of seven sephirois coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are very esoteric things. And the principle of Hod obviously is something which is the common denominator of Pesach Sheni on a larger scale of the week of Sfira versus the individual day of Lag BaOmer, which is the digit. Like Pesach Sheni is like the decimal. It's like the big number. It's the week, and Hod is the digit. It's Hod Shebehod. Hod starts, the week of Hod starts with Pesach Sheni, and it culminates on the fifth day when it's Hod Shebehod. What is the common denominator? The common denominator is the ability for man to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please make a change in your divine plan of this world. That Pesach, that concept, took place through Pesach Sheni, when people came to Moshe and they asked Hashem, Lama Nigara, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up a channel in Torah to get the things that were not meant to be. And by extension, there were other events that were not meant to be. the revelation of the secrets of the Torah, the depth of appreciation that was not meant for us to understand, how things work in Shemayim, what's the system, what's the purpose of this world. The Ramchal has probably this, I don't think this, it was sort of a shir from actually from a woman. A woman gave the shir. And basically she brainwashed me to believe that the Ramchal probably had more influence on Klal Yisrael today than anyone out there. There's no one out there today in our world today who has had more influence upon Klal Yisrael than the Ramchal. He presented the principles of the purpose of the world. Olam Hashem created the world to do chesed. And the principles that a person could not, if a person would just be created to enter into the world of the Olam HaNeshamos, he would not feel satisfied because he did not earn his keep. He needs to come to this world in order to earn his state. These are all the things from the Ramchal. The Ramchal revolutionized Yadus. All with Sisrei Torah, okay, and this all this is Sisrei Torah, and this was not meant to be. It's only a product. It's only a product of Lomonigara. So they share the common theme of Hoid. Okay, that is one idea that makes this connection. Now there's another very obvious connection, and this is a much more practical connection. And that is, instead of focusing on Rashbi as being the agent of Klal Yisrael, okay, it's a more elaborate idea. Let's focus on the person Rashbi. Without going into the entire story, which I didn't prepare, I was about to get to that part of the Sefer, and I'm going through all the you know, I've written, I have different Sfarim that to prepare from it, and I didn't go through the whole history to review the piece of Gemara. But the basic story is, there was a conversation that was being recorded by the NSA. Rashbi and his chaverim were talking about government. Okay, big topic, common current events, government. The role of government in the life of the individual. America, government, the role of government. And without going into all the nitty-gritty details, one of the Amoraim said, the government is wonderful, wonderful. We have to give shevach v'hoidah to the government. And someone else said something else. Whatever, there was a conversation. Rashbi, not realizing that the NSA and the MI6 and the CIA and the governor's office and the mayor and the local councilmen were all listening in very carefully. And he said, the government, everything they do is for their own benefit. They couldn't care less about the common man. They build bathhouses in order to bring in them zoinois, to commit the worst averois. You know why they build bridges? Do you know why they build the battery tunnel? You know the real reason why they built that? It's not because they want you to get, give you a way to get from Manhattan to Brooklyn or vice versa quickly. They want money. It's a business. They don't care about your tircha. It's just about money. It's a way to collect taxes. That beautiful bridge, George Washington Bridge. You know why they built the George Washington Bridge? For one reason only. Money. It's a money making, it's an opportunity to make money. It's not because they want to be mahani you and allow you to get to your Ein HaKlach in Lakewood in an hour and a half with no traffic. Because if there wasn't a Brooklyn Bridge, we'd have to swim. It would take you weeks. That's not because they care about you. The only reason why they do everything is only for their own personal gain. The government heard about this. Now, the government in those days was not like America. There was no freedom of speech. And if you make a statement like that, it's treason. You're done. You're done. You're finished. And they put out a warrant for his arrest and his execution. And it wasn't like in America, Shemef Shemazels, who don't know how to arrest someone who resists arrest. They know how to get you. In those days, when there was a warrant out for your arrest, you didn't stand a chance. It's not, there's not like a 1% chance you'll escape. There is a 0% chance that you will get away alive. They came to get you, they got you. No exceptions. Rashbi hid from one place to another. The end was he went to the cave with his son, Rabbi Eliezer, and they hid out there for 13 years. What's the chance you'll get away with it? Oh, you'll say it's a 1% chance. Wrong. 0% chance someone in that time and society who was wanted by the Romans with a network of power that's beyond our comprehension can survive. It was a miracle beyond miracles that Rashbi survived. Now the rule is, this is the Gemara, the rule is a person that survives, that is killed by the Malchus. Now it's hard for us to appreciate all of these nuances because we don't live in this society. There's no burial. Today, you know, in America, when they captured Osama bin Laden, everyone knows that the Pentagon is scratching their heads for 20 years. The day will come when we'll get him. What will we do with his body? What are you going to do? Saddam Hussein. What are we going to do? I mean, this is something which they probably spent millions of dollars. I have no doubt that the government must have spent millions of dollars trying to plan and figure out the aftermath. What are we going to do with his body? Because his body will become a shrine. His body will become a source of terrorism. What are we going to do? What do? Do we go bury in secret? No one's going to believe us that we killed him. Do we bury it at sea? Do we go and do we burn it? What do we do? Eichmann. You know, Eichmann was a big problem in Eretz Yisrael. What do they do with his body? Okay, there's stories and stories and this and that. It's a big, big problem. This is nothing new. This is nothing new. The Romans, they're the ones who created this whole sin. What do you do when Haruge Malchus is a principle in the Gemara, which, again, we don't really appreciate. It's very hard for us to grasp this. But Haruge Malchus, Loi nitnu likfura. It's a Gemara Mifureshes. People that were killed by the government, loi nitnu likfura. It was a crime to bury them. It's a crime. Rashbi, Lag BaOmer, we'll get to Lag BaOmer in a few moments. If he died, he did not die in Lag BaOmer. It's not so simple that he died. But there's a minug on Lag BaOmer to go to his burial spot. Okay, there's a minug to go to the burial spot. Forget about singing and dancing. Forget about all the, unfortunately, it's become today, whatever. Forget about all the negative stuff. Forget about what you do at the burial spot. Forget about all that stuff. There's a minug to go to the burial spot and do nothing. Just look at it. Quiet. No music. Don't go deaf. Go there. The Meiron today. Mamash have to have earplugs in the ears. The noise, unreal. Forget about bonfires. Forget about everything. Just go to the burial spot and look at the grave. Why? This person, Rashbi, there was a warrant out for his arrest and execution and the vaporization of his body. Haruge Malchus lo yidnu likfur. They didn't kill him. They never arrested him. They never caught him. They didn't arrest him. They never arrested him. They never killed him. And he was buried at a beautiful, peaceful funeral ceremony. Rabbi Akiva didn't merit such miracles. Rabbi Akiva was murdered. He was burnt. He was. I'm sorry. They tortured him with nails. He was murdered. He was buried. Rabbi Akiva was buried miraculously, by the way. That was a miracle. He also had a miracle, Rabbi Akiva. But not the same miracle as Rashbi, because Rabbi Akiva was captured, he was imprisoned, he was tortured, and he was murdered. He was not supposed to be buried. It was a miracle. The Gemara relates the story of how they buried him. That's a miracle. That was a no, that was a crime. That was a very great crime to bury Rabbi Akiva, but Hashem had rachmanis on him. Rashbi witnessed the ultimate miracle of survival from our enemies. He's the poster child of survival. Because not only was he buried, he was not executed by the Goyim, and he wasn't even imprisoned by the Goyim. Now, let's take a step back. We mentioned this principle many, many times. There is a halacha that if a person he lives a supernatural life, some reason miracles always happen to him. Some bizarre reason, wherever he goes, miracles happen. So there's a halacha that if you go to a location where a miracle happens, for instance, he travels the world. He goes to California, a miracle happens. A miracle. He goes to Las Vegas, a miracle happens. He goes to Taiwan, a miracle happens. So he's visiting in Taiwan, and he comes to the street where he was walking down the street one day, and all of a sudden, the earth opens up, and he's surrounded by 50 people. Everyone gets swallowed into the earth, and he survived, right? Miracle. So he comes there to Taiwan, and he sees the street where everyone swallowed up, and he survived. Oh, you're supposed to make a blessing. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam she'asa li nes b'makom hazeh. Hashem, you did for me a miracle in this location, but that's not enough. If this fellow has experienced miracles all over the world, she'asa li nes b'makom hazeh, v'gam in California, v'gam in Australia, v'gam in Las Vegas, and v'gam charvoy nezachor la'toiv in North Korea. You have to go and mention all the miracles. Whenever a person comes to a location which he experienced a miracle, l'mala miderech hateva, you have an obligation to make a bracha. But when you make the bracha, you have to be koilel in the bracha, all the miracles that you experience in your life. We explain many times, that's why we say ma'osur. What do we say in Mosul? It's Hanukkah. So Hanukkah, why are you mentioning Hanukkah about Haman and about Mitzrayim and about Edom? What's this all about? What's this all about over here? It's Hanukkah. You got your holidays mixed up? You're mentioning over here about the Agogi? Are you getting your holidays mixed up? Why Lel Pesach do you recite the Piyutim? And in the Piyutim we mention all these other miracles. Excuse me, tonight is Pesach. We're focusing on Yitzias Mitzrayim. We're not focusing on these other miracles. The answer is, read what it says in the code of the law, in Shulchan Aruch. It says that when a person thanks Hashem for a miracle, he make a miracle, she'osa nisim lavoseinu bayomim hohem basman hazeh. When you focus on Hanukkah, you have an obligation to reflect upon all of the other miracles that you experienced in this world. That's the halacha. By extension, Rashbi, he is the poster child for the person that was not supposed to survive. He was a wanted man. He called out the government. Okay, he had a very difficult approach, a very harsh analysis of politics. His blog was not too popular, and he did not have nice things to say about the elected officials. And he was a wanted man. And a miracle happened. They didn't touch him. They never harmed him. They never tortured him. They never killed him. And he was buried at a ripe old age, very happy and very satisfied with his life. And he left over a wonderful child that he was proud of, Rabbi Eliezer, who was the Malam Mekoimai, that was equally as great as him, Unbelievable. Who would ever imagine? A wanted man lived to a ripe old age, accomplished everything he wanted to accomplish in life, left over a child, family. Wow. It's not to be believed. You don't believe it? Go to the grave. Go. He has a grave. He died here. Here's where he's buried. You can touch the grave. You can touch the grave. You have to have the key to get in, right? And it's probably built upon, it's built on who knows what over the centuries, but somewhere, who knows where, somewhere down there in some tunnel, he's there. Wow. When we look at this miracle that demands that we thank Hashem for all of the other survivors, and there are many of them, including every single one of us. Every single person who's alive today and is a Shomer Torah Mitzvah, even those that are not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, are all survivors, miraculous survivors. It was not meant to be al derech hateva that we should survive to this day. Our sins, the Nevi'im have done a very good job, A++, at highlighting all of our failures, our sins, and we are not deserving of anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have already finished us off. And the government, our enemies of the Ummah Yisraelim, they certainly did the best that they can. They get an A++ for effort in wiping us off the face of this earth. And yet, the Ribbono Shel Olam, Beroiv Rachamav, an enormous Rachmanis on us, and look where we are today. Klal Yisrael is thriving like never before in every dimension of its existence. This is a miracle. Lag BaOmer is the celebration of the survival of Klal Yisrael. Rashbi is just the poster child. He's the poster child. That's all he is. Rashbi was one man who called a spade a spade. He looked at the government. He saw, he wasn't like his chaverim that were very diplomatic. Oh, you're such a good politician. We love you. You're so good to us. You give us tax credits and you give us vouchers and you do this and you do that. Rashbi said, listen here. Let me tell you what government is really all about. Let me tell you what really goes on in government. Let me tell you what really goes on. He was not an agudist, Rebbe Chol. Let's not lobby. Let's call a spade a spade. And the government did not like what they heard. And he was not meant to be. Rashbi was not meant to be. His life was not meant to be. He basically he commits suicide. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanis on him. He lived a good life, accomplished in Torah and Avodah, and left over Rabbi Eliezer. He was Megale, Sisrei Torah. His life was a life that was not meant to be, al derech hateva. He's a survivor. In a golus, in a the zman of Shemad, where the goyim are trying to destroy us, he's a, and when you see one, when you look at one person, and you see the miracle, what does it obligate you to do? When it's Chanukah, and you're making a sha'osa nisim lavoseinu b'yomim ohim b'zman hazeh, that demands, oh, this is not the only miracle you have to thank Hashem for. You got to thank Hashem for Purim. You got to thank Hashem for the Ashur. We survived the onslaught of Sancheiriv. We have to thank Hashem for we survived Mitzrayim. We have to survive Hashem al-Osir that we're going to survive Edom. You see Rashbi survived. Oh, he's not the only one who survived. You also survived. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you know what? Me also. Gamani, gamani b'saycham. It's the day of Jewish survival, a celebration of survival. Not the pshat, oh, there's a 1% chance. There is a 0% chance. It's the Yad Hashem. And that perfectly fits into the theme of Pesach Sheni, the week of Hoyd. What is Lomonigora? Was it meant to be? No, it was not meant to be. The divine plan was there will be no Pesach Sheni. You missed out. You missed out. Too bad for you. I don't care about all of your excuses. That's life. It doesn't work out for everyone. And yet, these Anoshim, who we pay tribute to, on today, you know, today we have to pay tribute to those few people. Those few people, they opened up a world. Who are these people? Mishoel V'Yeltzofan. These people, Mishoel V'Yeltzofan, if they were here today, they would be lifted up on a pedestal. We wouldn't know what to do with them. If they would come out of their graves today, Mishoel V'Yeltzofan, who had the audacity to say to Moshe, Lama Nigara! They changed the world. Mishoel V'Yeltzofan brought to life Rashbi. And by extension, we're only here. We're only here because of Mishoel V'Yeltzofan. They carved out in the divine plan a koyach, even though it's not meant to be, it could happen. Lama Nigara. You want, Hashem says, will change the divine plan. The people who carry the grave of Yosef, the people that were Tamei Lemes Mitzvah, these are heroes. These are today's heroes. They created an opening in the Kisei HaKovod, Lama Nigara. And that opened up, not just in the big picture, the Shavua Shalhoi. It opened up the prat, the digits of Hoyt. Rashbi was not meant to be. He's a survivor. That survival of what not is not meant to be is rooted in Lama Nigara. It's the same week. It's Hoyt. It's Hoyt Sheba Hoyt. And by extension, every single one of us has to appreciate this principle of survival. So you go, people who go to the grave of Rashbi, the joy that comes, that's secondary. See, this is where I'm coming to be choylik on. Some people, they're going there for the joy. They're going for simcha. Wrong! The simcha is not the ikur. When you go to the kever meron of Rashbi, you're going to witness survival. You're going there to witness proof. Show me evidence. I want to see evidence of survival. Show me the hard evidence. I'll take you, go on a plane, go and travel. You come there, you go to the grave. Here's the evidence. This man, there is no way in the world he was meant to live out a life like this. He was meant to be captured, tortured, executed, and vaporized. He has not been vaporized. Here's his body, right here. And this body was buried after a long, successful life of accomplishments and leaving over a family, Rabbi Eliezer. The government never even arrested him. They never tortured him. Here's the evidence. That's why you go to Meron, to see v'hoyu einecho rois, to see the evidence. After you see the evidence and you realize, wow, survival. And then you realize, by extension, I'm also a survivor. Everyone is a survivor. Then you mole simcha. Then the simcha of the acknowledgement of the chesed of Hashem is beyond imagination. It's infinite. You burst forth in shevach v'hoidah to Hashem. But you got to go through the steps. You just go to Meron to go and get drunk and act like a meshugana. This whole thing is totally... You have to know why you're going to Meron. Not just this is not a visit to Mecca, you know? Woo! Someone will come kill me for saying that, but Meron, you know how many people go to Meron? Well, 2 years ago, last year, remember last year what happened last year during Corona? It's still Corona. Last year, Major, major fighting going on with what's going to be in Meron. But the year before last year, you know how many people went to Meron? A half a million people. 500,000 people. Could you imagine? They mobilized every police officer, every bus that has tires that still work, and every and the IDF, the entire nation is mobilized to secure and provide logistics to transport a half a million people to the kever of this man. Isn't that amazing? It's mind-boggling. Literally mind-boggling. The sensation of going to Meron. I don't get it. I guess I was there once. I was there a couple of years ago for a simchas. I said it's a chance of a lifetime. I'll never do this. I might as well go see what's going on over there. It was very interesting. I have to tell you that. I told you many times my experience there. It was interesting. I'm not running back now, that's for sure. But it was quite an experience. And this year, I've read in the newspapers that there's no limits. They've lifted all restrictions. They can have as many people you want can go. There's no COVID restrictions to go to Meron. I do not know if everyone is going to go. There are people who don't want to go because...
I think they limited
they did limit?
Or whatever. They expect 20,000 people.
20,000? Not 500,000? I don't believe it. It'll probably be like, 200,000 people. People on their own are not going to go because they don't want it's dangerous because they feel that it's dangerous to go. But the government seems to have announced that they're not going to get involved. They're not going to fight. They don't want to fight with the people anymore. They have enough on their plate to fight about. So this is, but it's a sensation. It's something which is very, very hard for me, and I think for many people to comprehend the sensation of going to Meron. But at least you have to appreciate what the day is about. All right, I want to tell you another idea. There are a lot of ideas. I want to tell you another idea, and then one about purely about Lag BaOmer. Going me in Ba'is and talk about Lag BaOmer. The Gemara says something. I saw this is in the footnote in one of the Sfarim that I used to prepare. Something that really shook me up quite a bit, because it's very relevant. The Gemara talks about the Talmid Rabbi Akiva. What is the great joy, the great simcha, that Lag and love Lag BaOmer? What is the simcha? What's the why Lag BaOmer is it special? Okay, so you know there are only 100 different ideas, but one of the basic ideas is, and it doesn't really explain anything, doesn't really get to the core of the issue, but the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva stopped dying on Lag BaOmer. Why Lag BaOmer? That's another topic. I don't know. Let's not get into that. But that's the fact. The facts are. The Talmidei, we know the Rabbi Akiva, he had 24,000 Talmidim. We'll talk about that another time. The 24,000 Talmidim, Shaloi Nohagu Kavod Zelozeh, and they died. They died in one perek, in one tekufa, and they stopped dying 15 days before Shavuos. Shavuos, a perek, a price means half. Like a prusa challah, you take a piece of bread, you break it into half. A month is divided into two parts, into 15 and 15 days. They died 15 days, which means they stopped dying on Lag BaOmer. Some say they stopped dying only one day. They died after Lag BaOmer. They continued to die. All right, let's not get into all the details. Don't confuse me with the facts. Let's just focus on the fact that everyone seems to be pretty much in agreement that Lag BaOmer was a day where there was a stop order. The Malach HaMaves was given, his license was revoked.
Was suspended
for one day. The Malach HaMaves lost his license for one day. You cannot go and take any of the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva on Lag BaOmer. Okay, fine. Now the Gemara goes forward to tell us what kind of death did they suffer. This is a very interesting idea. They all died. What kind of death? What kind of death did they die? It was must have been a magefa. They were all young people, it seems. There was a magefa.
Yes.
Okay, so Rahman al-Islam, they've been in Jewish history. There's been no shortage of different types of magefos, all different types of ways to die. There's no shortage of different ways people can die very quickly, very tragically, very suddenly. The Black Plague, and there's Spanish flu, and there is, there's a whole long list of Rachmana Litzlan, COVID-19, all of these horrible ways to die. What did they die from? Medically, no? What was the death? So the Gemara says, Askira. What is Askira? So there's a debate. Yes, all of the doctors, they'll tell you what they believe Askira is. Dr. Friedman, you once told me what...
He's already told us. It's diphtheria.
You're on mute, Dr. Freeman.
They translate it as diphtheria.
Right.
So what is the, can you fill me in?
It's a membrane that grows across your throat. It's a bacterial infection and it chokes you.
Wow. Right. Okay. Right. Very, obviously very grotesque form of death. The Mepharshim, I can't tell you now chapter and verse and names, but they elaborate on this disease called Askara, not necessarily in the medical analysis, but they mention Askara causes a person, prevents him from speaking. He chokes, but it's not just that he can't breathe. It's also attacks his ability to communicate.
Around,
what?
It's the other way around. If you can.
Well, that was George Floyd, the trial. That was what the lawyer said. If George Floyd can say the words, I can't breathe, that means he can breathe.
Yeah.
It's a lie. I can't breathe. What do you mean you can't breathe? If we can hear him say the words, I can't breathe, that means air is flowing through his throat and there are vocal cords going, so that means you can breathe. You can't breathe. I'm not getting involved in the medical. I know nothing about medicine. But I'm telling you, Chazal say, Askara prevents a person from communicating. As it's Toli Zebizeh, as he chokes, Rachmana Litzlan, as his passageway of air closes off, which causes his lungs to be deprived from oxygen. He also, as a consequence, as a parallel, he can no longer speak. Now here's what it says. This is something which blew my mind. Why this death? If the Talmid Rabbi Akiva have to die, there are many ways to die. Now let's fantasize. We all like to fantasize. We go back and go to Hollywood. When people are dying, they're dying. So in Hollywood, they show the person on a bed. He's surrounded by his family, and he's getting weak and weak. He's closing his eyes. And as he's done, he's speaking to his family. He's saying, my children, you should be good. You should do this. The money, the keys to the safe are over here. The combination to the vault. By the way, you should know I have a Swiss bank account. By the way, I have bitcoins. You know, he's giving his last will, and he's as he's expiring, he's speaking to his family. He's telling them his last will and testament. Right? He's giving over. He's telling them instructions. And then he closes his eyes and he kicks the bucket. Right? That's how it works, right? There is a dialogue. There is communication at the time of death. Communication. The reason why Chazal say, this is really way out stuff, Askara was selected as from the hundreds of types of diseases that could have ended a person's life prematurely, is because when a person dies from Askara, there is no communication at the time of death. The person, as he expires, that last scene in Hollywood, from the movie in Hollywood of the guy dying, there's no communication. There's not a word is coming out of the person's mouth. He can't get a word out of his mouth. He can barely breathe. As the membrane, as the bacteria grows in his throat and he's being choked to death, before he chokes to death, way before the choking, the vocal cords are done. The vocal cords are not functional. So that last tikufa, he dies in silence. He is denied. Now, this is what is very frightening. This form of death is the worst. It may not be the worst necessarily in pain. Maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? I gotta try them all to see which one, Rachman Litzlan, was the worst type of death. But psychologically, it's the worst. Physically, I don't know. Baruch Hashem, I don't know. It's not possible to know, to experiment. But psychologically, Chazal say it's the worst of the worst of the worst. Because part of the satisfaction, isn't bizarre, I'm telling you, of dying? Okay, there's a satisfaction in dying. What is the satisfaction the person has when he dies? He gives over to his children and his loved ones his message. His last will and testament. They always love in these Gedolim books to say, what were the last words? They have a whole list. What was the last thing Rav Moshe Feinstein said when he died? What was the last thing Rav Chaim Oizer said when he died? What was the last thing Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said? What were the last, Rav Moshe's last words were, I have no koyach. Those were his last words. I have no koyach. I said every day. I have no koyach. What?
Period of time where people wrote the tzavah beforehand and they're
right. I'm coming to that. There's always this. What did he say? What were his last words? Where's the money? Where did he hide the money? There's this satisfaction. Why? Because when the person leaves this world, we have to appreciate this incredible clarity. When you leave this world, you have a message. I've lived my life, I'm going. I have no ulterior motives. I'm gone. I have clarity. What is this world all about? Whatever the person says at the very end is very profound because he's leaving. There's no ulterior motives. It's powerful. We want to know what he has to say. And when he says something, it makes a very big difference. People are listening very carefully. What is he saying? And if you want to go into the Kabbalistic world, they'll tell you, they're coming to greet him. He sees Malachim, he sees his relatives. You will hear these stories, these out-of-life experience stories. Or he's talking to other people that are coming to Makabal Pan. Forget about it. You want to go, what did he say? Could you imagine? Now, the person who is dying has enormous, enormous satisfaction in being able to speak and to give over a message as he leaves this world. When a person, Rachmana Litzlan, dies from Askara, he's being tortured because he's being denied by Hashem his ability, his desire, the satisfaction that every human being has when they leave this world to give over a message. To give over that message to the next generation, what he has to say. Now, the reason why this is very frightening is because, as Rav Meir just said, today we live in a modern world. And in the modern world, there's modern medicine, no one just dies. No one dies like in Hollywood. That's not the way it works. They don't let you leave this world today so easily. It's not like on television. Today, in the real world, more or less, they don't let you leave. They torture the people. They go and they put them on machines. They put them in different, in nursing homes and hospices and this and that. And the person, long before he leaves this world, he's already not been speaking to anyone. He's already been quiet for a long time. Okay, Rachman Litzlan, that's the way the world is. Not everyone, of course. Okay, not everyone, but unfortunately, modern medicine has made it such that people, unfortunately, they don't let you leave so quickly. And in the process, they shut the person down long before he actually departs. Yet, today, today, when there's a funeral, they're hespedim. And when you go to a hesped, what is really happening at a levaya? The family and the friends they are basically, by being maspi, the person, giving over to the listeners the last will and testament of the person. And many times the maspi can do a better job than the person himself can do. You have professional eulogizers or maspidim, or people that are talented in public speech. They basically, they represent the person. The person, he died. What was his message? What was his life all about? What do we take out of his life? The hespedim, they are the mouthpiece of the person who died. Isn't that, that's really very much what hespedim are. This past year, okay, now it's the yahrzeit of a very significant number of very great people who died in COVID. People that would not have died. People that would have lived longer, without question. They died prematurely. But not only did they die, what did they die from? They died not just from COVID-19, whatever, and all the complications of whether it was COVID or whether the COVID weakened their immune system, so they died from other pre-existing conditions, which was extremely common by many people that died and died mamish from COVID, but COVID destroyed them to the degree where their pre-existing conditions overwhelmed them and they died from that. And what happened? There was no levaya. There was no levaya. There were no there was no hespedim. And basically, when these people perished, they left the world, they were denied the ability to speak, to give over, to declare, this was my life. This is what I learned from my living in this world for this number of years. Learn from me. This is the message. When a person goes to a levaya, you hear the maspidim describing what this person contributed to this world. What did he take out of this world? What is this, the message? The maspidim are the mouthpiece for the person who died. But when there's no hespedim and there's no levaya and there's nothing, a person died, you just read about it online, and the person was taken away, and there was nothing of nothing, that's askira. That's askira. There was no one speaking for them. There was no one giving over a message. The victims of COVID are victims of askira. The Gemara says, the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, they died from a misorah. My misorah, askira. What's so bad about askira? Why is askira misorah? They're horrible, horrible. There's no easy way to die. There's no such thing. No matter how you die, it's pain. It's suffering. So what do you mean, misorah? Askira. Why is askira more ra'ah than any other death? The answer is because every other death, no matter how painful and how much torture there is, we picture the Hollywood scene of this fellow pushing himself to give over a message. But askira, no. We don't want to hear what you have to say. You can't even get the words out of your mouth. Deny the koyach hadibur. That's horrible. And that's what will happen to us. That's what happened to us. All of these people who died, even those who had these makeshift Zoom levayas. Come on, this wasn't a real levaya. This ain't a doime. They were denied the message. The message of their lives was not presented to the world. That's askira. Why? I don't know. I'm not a. I don't know why. That's obvious. That's super, super. No one knows why Hashem did all this. But it's horrible. What happened on Lag BaOmer? They stopped dying. Askira came to an end. At least on this one day. You only can appreciate what Lag BaOmer is by looking at the background. Looking at the contrast. Askira stopped. And it's interesting, who are we celebrating on Lag BaOmer? Rashbi. Rashbi, from all the people that we know in the entire Talmud, who was the one that gave over a message when he died? Rashbi. When Rashbi died, he was Megaleh, the Sisrei Torah to the, whatever that means. All of this is esoteric stuff. But you don't need to get involved in the esoteric stuff. You just need the message. Rashbi was a celebrity in the fact that when he died, he had what to say. Today, I'm going goodbye. But before I go, I want to deliver the State of the Union address on television for the whole world to hear. And he did. And then he said, "See you, fellows. I'm out of here." And he went. He was able to die. He gave over. Rashbi is the spitz of what it means to have the satisfaction of leaving this world, to give over a message when you leave. Now, it sounds very morbid. It certainly is very morbid. But let's make it not more by appreciating that when man came into this world, this, we always go back, this Yisoid is the most abused, the biggest celebrity from all of the Yisoid, this is the creation of man. Vayibach be'apov nishmas chayim. Hashem blew into the nostrils of man life. Vayihi ha'adam lenefesh chaya. And man became a living spirit. Targum unkelus. Bahava le'adam leruach memalala. What does it mean, a living spirit? A creature that has the koyach to speak. Dibur, communication. The beginning of life, the creation of life, is the koyach to communicate. If when a person leaves this world, he leaves this world as on the Hollywood scene, he's lying on that bed, and he's leaving, and as he takes his last breaths, and all the machines are making all those funny noises, and he's saying, "The money is hidden under the tree," and he's speaking, he didn't die. Because Dibur, the ability to communicate, to give over a message, that's life. If the way a person leaves this world is accompanied by Dibur, you're really alive. Because that's what life really is all about. Life is all about l'ruach memalala, l'nefesh chaya. And if in your death, if your death leaves over a person, let's say he dies and they're beautiful hespedim, and people, they talk about him, those maspidim are the mouthpiece for the one who left this world. He's alive. He didn't die. The Talmidei Rabbi Akiva died because they died from Askara, which means Hashem shut down their Koyach HaDibur, and Hashem shut down Vayihi HaOdom LeNefesh Chaya. On the day of Lag BaOmer, it's not just that they stopped dying. On the day of Lag BaOmer, Askara came to an end, which means life was recreated. Not that he stopped dying. Lag BaOmer is Vayehi ha'odam lenefesh chaya. There was new life. There was new life even in death. Because Lag BaOmer, someone else died on Lag BaOmer. Or at least we commemorate his death on Lag BaOmer. Being, who do we commemorate? Who do we commemorate? Whether he died or not is irrelevant. But we commemorate Rashbi on Lag BaOmer. And what is the legacy of Rashbi? That the day that he died, whatever that day may be, it's not necessarily Lag BaOmer. Many people say, all the experts say he did not die on Lag BaOmer. And even Spefarish, he didn't die. Even not. But we commemorate the man, Rashbi. What is unique about Rashbi? What's unique about Rashbi, even if Rashbi died in the middle of the winter, but when Rashbi died, he died talking. He communicating. He was the guy you saw in the movies. He's the Hollywood scene, Rashbi. He gave over. He gave over. That's Lag BaOmer. Because until Lag BaOmer, before and after Lag BaOmer, you know what it meant to die? Askara. Askara means dead is dead. Deader than dead. But Lag BaOmer is when a person dies through communication. That's a whole different dimension of life. And that's powerful. That's a powerful thing that when a person leaves this world, he's not leaving. You're not leaving. You're speaking to the people as you have a message to give over. That communication of my actions, my life, my accomplishments continues on in this world. That's the real life. That's Lag BaOmer. Rabbi said, thank you very much. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy the Hoid. Enjoy the beginning of a week of Hoid.
Have a good day, everyone.
Be well. Mark Hirschquitz, Shkoyach, thank you for coming. Be well, be well.
Apple? Okay.